Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And now today, of course, we are going to use the epistle lesson as our text for the sermon. Now, to just give you the first few verses in the book of Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 5. And this is what St. Paul says. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant and coming to the likeness of men. So every knee shall bow and every tongue confess is the way the text concludes for today. You know about likeness. All of us were at some point babies. But when the story about Jesus is told, we are told that Jesus was born in a manger. And for you, just for the Western mind, I have sanctified that place of birth for Jesus. We are going to see that picture soon. And when you hear about the manger, about the birth of Jesus, by the way, what you would imagine is the cows just sleeping with Jesus. And you know, the cows, they don't have a bathroom. They go there and do their thing. And it is a very smelly place. Just ask a farmer and they will tell you. It is a smelly place. And that is where Jesus was born. And by the way, Jesus is the King of Kings, isn't he? He is the Word who was in the beginning. And in the beginning, he made all things out of nothing by this word. And then he dares to come and be born as a helpless baby. And this helpless baby is the one who became our Lord and our Savior. But his mode of coming as a baby is really a lesson to you and me. I don't know about you, but most of us men suffer from this illness. It is called a big ego sickness. We have this ego, don't we? We don't want anyone to tell us that we are lesser than the other one, right? But Jesus, God himself, considers himself worthy or unworthy to be in the likeness of man so that he may bear our sickness. And that became the way that God reconciled us to himself. So let me just give you some practical kind of message from this. You know, when our ego gets in the way of our relationship, let's just think about Jesus. Even though he was God, he didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. I don't think there is any one of us here who wants to tarnish his reputation. You would do everything, or you'll pay anything that you would have to pay to gain your reputation. It is important. Our good name is our best possession. So Jesus took the form of a man, became a helpless baby. But you know, with that being helpless also comes the whole idea of suffering. You see, the baby comes, and then today on Palm Sunday, what do we remember? We remember Jesus riding on a colt. On a donkey. I don't know about you, but I have ridden donkeys before in Africa. And they are not very powerful. Not as powerful as horses, are they? I don't know. If you have stronger donkeys, let me know. I'll buy one. But they are very weak animals. So he came riding on a donkey, but all of a sudden, the whole city turns around and they are worshiping him. They are saying, Hosanna to the king. And do you know who was jealous? It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees. All of a sudden, the attention was taken from them to the King of Kings, who is riding a colt. And all of a sudden, they found out that the whole community is turning towards Jesus, and now their reputation is done. So they began plotting against him. I don't know about you, when someone has a very successful career and all of you have work to do, when you succeed, there is someone in there who would be jealous about you, and you will have all kinds of issues with that person. Jealousy is the worst illness that a person would have. It brought Cain to killing his brother Abel, right? So the Pharisees were jealous and they plotted against him. And that began the procession towards his crucifixion. You know, at the crucifixion, what happens was Jesus was arrested on Thursday. And as soon as he was arrested, guess what happened to the people, to his team? His team just ran away. And he was left by himself. And the only disciple who had his silver foot in his mouth all the time, which was Peter, he said, Lord, I'm not going to leave you. I will be with you all the time. But what happened? He was just hiding. He was following him from afar. And when they told him, they asked if he was with Jesus, what did he say? I do not know him. I do not know him. Have we ever done that in our lives? I guarantee you, you have done it. You have done things that are shameful, and you don't want to reveal your Christian identity in those moments. You just want to hide. And that is a little bit of us crucifying Jesus every time we have things that we have done that can make us to hide from ourselves and from the people around us. So I don't know what's going on in their lives individually, but I do understand the human condition. That is who we are all the time. But I want you to think, as we approach this Holy Week this week, I want you to remember the suffering of Jesus and just remember that your debts are paid in full. You don't have to be ashamed of who you are. Because you were a sinner, but you are a redeemed child of God. And as you approach the altar, it is the body that's given for you and the blood that was shed for you. And that is a guarantee that your salvation is given. Not because of what you have done, but because of what he did. So when Jesus went to the cross, so what happened at the cross? Remember? Pilate says, well, who do you want me to release for you? And they all said, oh, you can say it. You can do better. Did you have breakfast this morning? I didn't have. Well, I did have breakfast. But, you know, who do you want me to release for you? Barabbas, right? And that is when we do not want to approach or face the truth. We want someone who is like us to be released. And we do not want the truth to come out. That's what he did. And they crucified their Lord. But what did Jesus say? I think this is the point. What Jesus said was, even though he saw all of them mocking him, insulting him, spitting on him, nailing them, putting the nail on his feet and his hands and all that, and piercing his side, all that going on, he still says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. You know, true reconciliation begins by saying, forgive him, forgive her, for she does not know, or he does not know what he or she is doing. because at the core of us, we are sinners. But as Christians, everything that God hates, we also hate. But we still struggle with our flesh, and we can still say, truthfully, we do not know what we are doing. But the one who died on the cross knew exactly what he was doing. And it was for that hour that he was born as a baby. But you know, the devil thought this was the final word. I mean, the cross had the final say. He thought that, right? He was rejoicing. What happened on Sunday morning? He rose again. He is risen. So just for a moment, let's just think about this. The magnitude of someone dying on the cross, he saw him being crucified, taking his last breath, and he bowed his head, and he literally died. They took him down. They put him on the tomb. In fact, they put some guards to make sure that no one steals the body. And all of a sudden, the tomb is empty. He comes out. Death and the devil were crushed once and for all. So this year, I'm sure we remember many who has gone to be with the Lord, some of them family members. My brothers and sisters in Christ, that is the reason we worship here. It is for us to say, death has no final say. Christ has won. He is risen from the dead. So we'll say that next week. I don't want you to respond to me today. Just keep it that. Keep that. You know what happens though? After the resurrection comes the exaltation. The one who was in the tomb is now sitting at the right hand of God the Father. That's what we confess. By the way, sitting at the right hand doesn't mean that there are three people here and Jesus is just sitting at the right hand. That's not really what that is. You know what that means. It means now he rules. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He is the one who governs our lives. And he sends his Holy Spirit to empower us as he promised. So it is him who is ruling. And my friends, when we are gathered around the throne, there will be a lot of dancing. And you know, I am not a party kind of guy. I don't go parties. And I don't dance. By the way, it has nothing to do with religion. I'm awkward. I can't dance. And some of you know that you are very awkward. Don't even try, because you'll make a fool of yourselves, as I would. But you know, when we go to heaven, and I promise you, I'll teach you the African dance. And we'll all dance. And you teach me the German dance, I don't know, maybe the French dance. But we'll all be celebrating. Around the throne, the Lamb is with his people. He comes from heaven, and every eye beholds him. And we are around him day and night. Day and night, for eternity, celebrating joyfully. That is what happens when we are around Lord Jesus. But you know, that power, the name itself, Luther says, one little name will suffice him when it comes to the devil. Do you know what that little name is? You can shout it. That little name is Jesus. That's one little name. So just use this when you are tempted and when the devil is rearing his ugly head in your life. Just invoke the name Jesus. That one little name suffices him and he runs away because he's defeated. And that is the worship life around Lord Jesus. So this is what it says, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that even every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I'll tell you a story about this verse. You see, I dropped out of high school at 10th grade to join the Eritrean Liberation Front. So when I left the Eritrean Liberation Front and entered a refugee life in the Sudan, the first question that I was asked by my pastor was if I would serve as an evangelist. And just before that, about 3 years before that, I denied the existence of God. I was indoctrinated in the dialectical materialism, historical materialism, whatever that garbage is that the communists teach. So practically, I became an atheist. And the first question that I was asked was if I would be an evangelist when I met my pastor, coming out of that context. You see, I could not say no. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. And I never turned back, and that's where you find me today, standing before you, sharing the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When I was in the Sudan then, doing high school, remedial studies to graduate from high school, the professor who taught us physics was there, and he was doing the same thing that I heard when I was with the Eritrean Liberation Front, and he was telling me that God does not exist. And the students around him were of the same mind. So this is what I told them. I was listening, but the more I heard them, the more I mastered the courage to speak these words. And what I said was, at the end, every name shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let me give you this. Every atheist that you find is always asking questions about the next life. They may sound or think that they are strong, and they completely believe this garbage that God does not exist. But they are always wondering, what if we are wrong? What if we are wrong? We know the answer. Even those who are under the earth, that means those who are condemned to eternal damnation, every tongue will confess, and every knee shall bow, that Jesus Christ is Lord. As soon as I told them, the conversation ended. I don't know where they are, what their life is like right now. But at that point, I said what needed to be said. And it was my confession. I hope that will be your confession. I'm sure that is your confession. And because of that, brothers and sisters in Christ, this congregation is not going anywhere. We will be here. We have work to do. We have people to take with us to that eternal place so that the dancing will be fuller than it is right now. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all our human understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.